Hey, blessings, welcome. Good to see you. Kingdom greetings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, welcome to God's house. And I want to take this time to share with you something that's been just boiling in my heart in the past 3 weeks. I hope, I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hands, but I hope you're reading your Bible. Not only that, but I hope if you're reading it, I hope you are applying it in your lives. You know, I really hope that today, I know talking about prayer, prayer shouldn't be like a sermon. Yeah, of course you do a sermon, a study on prayer. But prayer should be a lifestyle. And I believe from what I'm watching and from what I'm getting from my time with the Lord, more than ever before, you need to be in the secret place. And some of you might be like, what is that secret place? What does that mean, secret place? You see, Jesus came as the high priest, went into the secret place. You go home today, read Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to do a sermon on that later on. But you read it. Jim, touch on it a little bit. Jesus came, went into the Holy of Holies and offered the ultimate sacrifice so you and I could leave the outer court. You know, like what they call the laku, the courtyard. How do you say laku, like a yard in Spanish? Yada. See, I'm learning Spanish, okay, guys? I'm on a journey. I want to learn Spanish. Right? Si, señores? All right? I know. So it's like, I think it's challenging for my brain. I love language. And I always think I should know Spanish because, you know, Haiti, we're on the same island with the Dominican Republic. And I don't know Spanish. But I've gotten some newer Spanish brothers and sisters. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick their mind on learning Spanish. So once in a while, I'm going to throw you a little word here in Spanish to confuse you a little bit. You know, God wants to remove us. He wants you to leave the place of distraction. Now, God's not boring, but most of the time, it's a lot easier for me. Let me not talk about you. Let me talk about me. A lot easier. It's a lot easier for me when I feel tired to get on the couch, pop my feet up, turn on Netflix. Now, I'm not putting my toes on anybody. I'm not telling you not to watch Netflix, not to watch TV. But I want you to be aware of something the enemy is doing with the church. I have been praying. And right now, if you could come, my heart's beating. I'm not afraid to tell it to you the way it is. But also, I don't want to come across so hard because I know some of the things I want to share with you could be hard and people could feel like I am condemning them. You know, praise God for entertainment. But what's happening with the church? You know, some of us, we could be like, well, Lord, once you bring prayer out in the public place, but I'm telling you, we don't have to worry about the public place. We need to worry about bringing prayer back in the church. Thermometer takes the temperature. The temperature of a church depends on the praying thermometer of each believer. So let's say on paper, I have about 80 members here on paper. So if everybody else plus the newer group that's coming hasn't been well, yeah, we haven't presented them as new member yet, but they're plugged in. I'm probably at 90. But let me tell you this, guys. The health of a church, you don't diagnose it on Sunday morning. You diagnose it on prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. Revival birth to prayer. If you're not praying, you're dead. If you don't have a, if you're not in the secret place. Oh. Holy Spirit. I'm trying to keep my cool, seriously. Because it's like, this is just boiling in my heart, my spirit. The secret place. I tell you, a good sermon would touch the mind, you know, make people feel, that's good. But a sermon birthed from the secret place will convince the heart. So, in the past 3 weeks, I'm like, okay, God, what's happening? If some of you would be a little closer to me, you'd know, because I'm an open book, okay? When I go through stuff, whoever is closer to me, I share. But I'm like, okay, God, I feel like I'm going through something, and it's a fight, but I'm not fighting against people, but at the same time, I'm like, Lord, hold me, just like we sang earlier. And I'm lost without you. Do you realize that you're lost without Jesus? You know, sometimes even when we come in his presence, we are so distracted. There's something called our phones. I tell you, some of you, you don't even have the discipline for 1 hour to shut down your stinking phone. You don't even have the discipline. Sometimes you try. Let me not talk about you. Let me talk about myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend time with Jesus in the secret place. I mean, have you ever, so for those of us who are able to, because some of us, we're a little too stiff, we can't do this, okay? But have you ever... Jesus. Have you ever laid down low? Lay down low. And you're like, Jesus. God, I don't know, but this life sucks. This life terrible. Work, Lord. Work, Jesus, is just a load on my shoulders. Work wears me out. Jesus, I feel like I'm always fighting. Lord, I know you will. But here I am, Lord. You go in your chambers. You go in the Holy of Holies. You press on. And you know why? Because when we press into the presence of God and we create space, we give him room. Behold his face, beholding his glory. Guys, when you grab a hold of God's face, everything changes. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of life's chaos, political, guys, listen to me. Right now, your party doesn't matter. Your party can't do anything for you. But you gotta grab a hold and focus on the kingdom, on the king, at the king's feet. Come on, guys, listen to me. This is time to press on, press in the presence, the Holy of Holies. If you don't, you know what's gonna happen to you? The enemy will kill you. You would die of hunger if you don't press in. Worry, anxiety, the worries of life, your jobs will kill you. If I don't keep pressing, if I don't keep going into the Holy of Holies, you know what's going to happen to me? The burden of this church will wear me out. It grieves my heart. This week I met someone. Her husband used to be a pastor. I pray for him. He got burned out. He used to be a worship leader and a pastor. And she's just sharing her heart with me. She's like, man, you know, he's in the world now. He's playing music for the devil. And I asked myself, how is that possible? Can you burn out? Oh, yeah. Can you dry up? Can you dry off or however you said? Yes. But the only reason to not dry off is to be low in the presence. Jesus, Lord, I feel like I'm drying out, Lord. I feel like these people, they're irritating me, Jesus. I feel like I don't see result, Lord. I don't see result. But Jesus, what am I doing, Lord? What am I doing here, Jesus? I feel like I should be going plumbing. But Father, no, your burden, you call me. So, and then he's like, okay, Ricardo, come on. I wait, okay? I wait in the secret place. I turn my phone off. Turn every distraction off. And then I wait. You see? That still small voice, you'll never hear it. You see, busyness is the worst enemy of a move of God. Exhaustion is the worst enemy of the move of God. That's why sometimes we're always tired. The church is tired. We're tired. We don't know how to be. Just be with God. Just be with Him. I tell you, you know, being with God could seem boring for someone who is religious. Because we want the hype. We want the jump up and down. Sometimes that's what I want. Yeah, it's good. It's good to praise God. But behold the face of God. That's what I want. I want His face. I want to experience the power that raised Christ from the dead. I said, Jesus, listen to me. Lord, Father God, this song we sang earlier, I don't want my love to grow cold. I've got some of my peers, some guys I went to Bible schools with, they're giving up. You know, there's a wave of preachers right now who are giving up. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? They're not in the secret place. Because I tell you, you cannot burn out in the secret place. You know what's going to happen to you in the secret place? You're going to get burned up. You're going to get burned up. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get on fire. You know, when everybody's losing their passion, you're like, man, what are you talking about? Jesus, He's excited. It's exciting. You're going to experience the joy of the Lord in the presence. That's why I'm telling you, prayer. Seeking God must be your DNA. It must be your DNA. You know, some of you, the only prayer you pray is thank God for the food. Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to our body's use. I tell you, there are certain demons out there. They don't care. Actually, there are certain germs, especially now in some of the food we are eating in America. Those food are causing people to get sick. And people are not aware of it. Sometimes the way we eat here destroy us. So yeah, you might have to fast on some of the food you eat to kill some of the germs and pray nutrient into it. I'm serious. So prayer must be your DNA. And as a church, and I'm praying, I'm saying, God, okay. You know, it says, the head leads the body. I said, okay, Jesus, you're the head, so lead me. And I'm praying, okay, and I'm going to say it. I say, Lord, rise up, just open their eyes. I'm speaking the vision. I'm speaking what God's showing me. But burn their hearts for prayer. You know, so yeah, you intercede here, there. But you know, when you bring your little fire, mix with my little fire, with mix her little fire and your little fire, you know what happened? It's a campfire. So today I challenge you. When you wake up at night, you can't sleep. Don't go on TV. Don't go find entertainment. Go in the secret place. Jesus, I don't know why I'm up tonight. It's 2:30, Lord. Lord, I don't know. I just want to spend time with you. Your mind wants entertainment. That's what your mind wants. Go on TV. Go on YouTube. You can't sleep. Have you read this? Have you been spending time with this? It will show. Some of you, you're so dry. Some of you, you feel like you are in a season. I worry for some of you here. Because every day with the Holy Spirit must getting better and better. But the thing is, I can't drink for you. See, I can drink all week long, all day long. But until you start drinking for yourself, and then the thing is, the stream of water, it's always flowing. The only thing you got to do is keep yourself, your vessel. Keep your vessel under the flow of the Holy Spirit. Keep your vessel, and then you know what's going to happen? Not only you're going to be filled up, but you're going to overflow. You're going to overflow. You know, let me break it to you. Sometimes I want to give up. The weight of ministry is hard. Sometimes I look out there, I'm like, you know what? I could be making a lot of money and be happy. Maybe I won't be happy. I know it. I've tried it because I'm called. Yeah, I take that back. I won't be happy because I know. I know I'm a preacher. I am a pastor. God called me to ministry. But I'm so thankful that he's keeping me in line, focused. Because it's grieving my heart. I grieve over some of my brothers who are just giving up their faith. You hear worship leaders. You hear pastors who used to follow Jesus, be on fire for Jesus. Now they're like cold, dead. And you're like, what happened? You know what happened? They left the secret place. I'm calling us. Let's go in the secret place. If we want our church to be on fire for the Lord, we got to be in the secret place. If we want our church to be a church who value the fear of God, we got to be in the secret place. I tell you, if you're just coming here to hear a little sermon, to do like religious check Sunday morning, it won't do it for you. When the worries of life comes, you know, when you lose a loved one unexpectedly, when you lose your job, when I tell you this, when the world's upside down, when your political expectation doesn't come to a realization, you get discouraged. How do we watch the news and not be discouraged? We must face daily activities with the kingdom perspective. Not from a Republican perspective, a Democratic perspective, or an independent perspective. Screw up your political views. It's about time you put on your helmet of kingdom, your kingdom glasses, so you see the way God sees things. It grieves my heart to see people online, Christian believers, they go online. I tell you, Jesus is our only hope. He's our only hope. He's the only hope for our country. The pearl of the island. That's where I came from. My birth country is the pearl of the island. You know what corruption did to it? Ruined it. It's ugly. people are dying. I don't know what to tell my brothers and sisters there. One of our pastors had to flee his house with 5 daughters. And then there was another pastor in the community. He was just like, I'm not leaving. But they kill him, cut his head. The church I'm talking about, I built it. Now he moves in the southeast. Left everything. Couldn't take a suitcase. What do you tell somebody like that? And then they're talking to you, man, they've got joy and they're crying out to the Lord. And then do I just want to do a religious service? No. I want Jesus. I want the real thing. I want to be compassionate. I want the power of God to change my heart so I can love this world who is so mad out there. People, they don't know how to love. I want to love the body of Christ. Prayer must be our DNA. You know, I heard this prayer from it's from one of the pastors in Times Square Church. Somebody from the church wrote the pastor this prayer, and I thought that was pretty funny. The prayer goes like this. It says, Dear Lord, so far I have done everything right today. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulging. And I'm so happy with myself, Lord. But that's right, you can laugh. But in a couple minutes, in a few minutes, God, I'm going to need a lot of help because I'm getting out of bed. You know how many times you and I, that's how we feel. As long as I'm in bed, I'm good. But man, the moment I get out of bed, oh Lord, I'm going to need a lots of help. I believe prayer needs to be more than a sermon. It needs to be our DNA. And I'm speaking to you from my heart. From my heart. When I call for prayer, you make it. I say, when I call, and I already told my worship team. My worship team, if they don't come to prayer, they can't sing. If you're not praying, let's say, because it's not, the worship team is not just the worship leader. It's the team. So if the team is not in the presence, what's happening? So the team's got to be in the presence. It's not just the worship leader that's got to be in the presence. The team's got to be in the presence. So I worry more about the bass player's walk in the Lord. Is the bass player dwelling in the presence? He must be. Prayer must be our DNA as a church. And this is nothing new. For the fact that Jesus said, my house must be a house of prayer. So now let's make this personal. Does God dwell in this building when we're not here? No. When we all leave, God's not here. He lives with us. When we all come back here, he is here with us. So God dwells in our hearts. So my heart must be a house of prayer. So somebody could be like, what is prayer? Prayer is communication. We're not going to get deep into that. Prayer is communicating with God. But also, you know what? Communication has a lot to do with listening as well. Some people, they don't know how to communicate. They know how to talk. You know, anybody have those friends? You know, they talk. But every time you try to say something, they already have an opinion. You're not even done saying what you have to say. What you gotta say, it's just like they've got the solution. They know exactly what your problem is and they've got the solution. But if only they could listen, they would hear your heart. They would know you. We need to be practical in prayer because what we're getting ready to face is crucial. Our society, listen, our society, what we're getting ready to face is very crucial. Any church who is not a praying church will close. People will get burned out. Sin will take over. Hypocrisy will take over. People will get hurt. That's the other thing. when people get hurt in the church, we say it here. I said it here many times. The church is not a place you go to, but it's a family you belong to. So therefore, every healthy family talks. So because we do in life, I might hurt you, you might hurt me. But when I hurt you, we don't want separate ways. We come together, we talk about it. That's a sign of maturity. You know, someone who is still a baby or children in that area spiritually, when they're hurt, they blow up or they shut up or shut down. Not shut up. Shut up is not the right word. Shut down. Every healthy family talks. So if we're doing kingdom life together, we're human, we still deal with the body, we still deal with ourselves, selfish self, right? Miscommunication, misunderstanding, all that comes to play. You say something, I said something, I look at you, you look at me, I take it wrong. Well, then we don't let the enemy get in there and start dividing us. The mature thing to do is, if I'm involved, you know, I'm going to talk to you. But the mature thing is for us to talk with each other. You know, this week I was teaching at the ministry school on Zoom, and one of the subjects I taught was to finish with conflict in the church. And one of the verse they were using is the example in Matthew. It says, when you know someone have something against you, you know, don't come to church and sing. Don't waste your time. Go and fix it. So it's like, how many people are wasting their time here in church? Because you know someone has something against you, and you know it. The Bible is not talking about you have something against them, because they might not know you have something against them. But if you know they have something against you, you need to go to them. Don't go talk to somebody else unless you need that person to help you out to resolve the conflict. I mean, do we want to take the word of God for serious? I do. Because I want result in my life. I want to experience joy. And I tell you, we live in a country where we have so much. Thank God. Bless God. God bless America. We have good roads. We have electricity. We have a job. We have a job. It grieves my heart when a grown-up man, it's like professionals talking to you, is like, man, I haven't fed my family for 3 days. It's not like they can't work. It's not like they don't want to work. They want to work. They can work, but there is no opportunity. You know, sometimes it's good to hear, grow up spiritually. Let us grow up spiritually. Let us leave behind the childish elements. You know, talking about laying hands on people, you know, talking about baptism. If you don't know those things, let's get equipped, because God wants to equip you so you can live your life as spiritual mature Christians. Oh, Lord. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, for though we live in this world, but we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapon we use, they're mighty to, they're strong to divide or to break down strongholds. Strongholds. Whatever it is that keeps people captive. And I use those weapons. You know, this week in our home groups, we've been studying on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to study why is it important to pray in tongues. Do you know praying in tongues is one of the spiritual weapon that the Holy Spirit gives you? I don't care what you think about tongues. If you haven't received it, position yourself, receive it. The Bible says everyone who believes will pray in tongues. It's like your bazooka spiritually. You know what I do when I play my keyboard, my guitar? I do spiritual warfare. There's years ago, I was in a crusade and I was playing, just like Larry's playing his guitar, you know, praising the Lord. And I'm playing. I mean, there was at least 10,000 people there. And I'm playing this guitar and I got a vision. The Lord gave me a vision. I saw my guitar as a gun, turned to be a gun. And I was just shooting in the spirit, killing demons. So I do warfare with my instruments. That's why I believe someone who is a singer, a prophetic singer, someone who understands spiritual warfare, their voice can cast out demons. You know? Some notes on the piano, simple notes, can touch the heart. It's not the note, it's the anointing. It's the anointing in the Holy of Holies, ministering to the presence of the Lord. It's not like I don't have anything else to do when I do soaking here with nobody here. Oh, I do it to the Lord. Because the more Jesus rubs on me, I smell like Him. Then the more I rub on you, you're going to smell Him. Guess what? If you start doing that, you start rubbing on Him. You start rubbing, go in your closet. Go in the Holy of Holies. Go in the secret place. Being intentional. Sometimes you're like, you know what? God, I live in the house by myself. I gotta have noise. Guess what? Turn the noise off. Turn it off. Press on. Say, Lord, it's me and you here. Lord, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone to work, Jesus. It's me and you, Father. Lord, I really would like to hear from you. We sing, let us become more aware of your presence. What does that mean? That's what it means. It means every day, in everything you're doing, you are aware of his presence. Okay, God, how can you use me? People are so mean out there. When you walk in Walmart, find a way to bless somebody. Good morning, how you doing? Do you know that's a weird thing now? You see someone, you say, hey, good morning, how you doing? You know, it's not like you're just passing by. Hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing? No, it's like I see you. I'm like, hey, good morning. How you doing today? I did that yesterday with a bunch of people. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to open for opportunities. I went to a couple places. I'm like, hey, good morning. How you doing today? You know, and you know, I kind of stop a little bit. Hey, good morning. How you doing? Good afternoon, man. How you doing today? And then I stop a little bit. Some of them were like, huh? It's like, who is this person? Because they're not used to someone kind of slow down. Do you know? God might have someone waiting for somebody to listen to. And you might be that person. We told you, Jesus is not going to send angels to bring his kingdom on earth. Prayer needs to be a practical thing in our church here. And I'm praying for you. When I say I pray for you, I mention each of your names before the throne. I walk here. In my closet, I pray for you. And I seriously thank you for praying for me too. And it really encourages me when you text me when you say that. Or when you sent me a Bible verse. Because I need it. Just like you need it. When I text you, it's not like I have nothing else to do. I really mean it. And I want you to know, in this fight, you're not by yourself. And I want to know, I know I'm not by myself. Prayer needs to be a practical thing and will be a practical thing in our church. I say, as for me in my house, we will follow Jesus. We will pray. As for me in God's church, in Restoration Church, we will be a praying church. I know the fight we must fight can only won if people would get on their knees. The fight you're fighting, you'll only win it in the secret place. Let you think on that a little bit. For years, they've removed prayer in the public space places, right? But now, let's not focus on that. Let's bring prayer back in the church. You know? You guys love each other. I love to see meet and greet. We love to talk to each other. I love that. But let us press in talking to God. When I call for prayer, for now it's once a month. Every last Friday of the month. I want all my leaders. I want all my workers, people who serve here. I want them to make that a priority. Sometimes you can't, you know, you've got obligation. No condemnation with what I'm saying. This is, I'm not guilty. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm speaking to your spirit, and I'm coming against the laziness spirit that's keeping people in their spiritual desert. Because sometimes you hear the announcement, you know you should be here, but the body says, man, this week was so hard, guess what? You're going to sit down and watch Netflix. I have nothing against Netflix. Maybe I should use Prime or something, or TV. You know, I don't have Netflix. Maybe that's why I say that. But no, you guys get me. You hear my heart, right? Hear my heart. You hear my heart. That's what I want you to know. I want you to hear my heart. Because to remove prayer or to neglect prayer is to invite defeat. You see, when I'm in prayer, I'm in victory. Sometimes I ask myself, I said, man, I'm in the Word. I'm in my atmosphere. I'm in atmosphere of worship. You know, I'm a musician. I love music. So I'm always exploring. When I find a song, I suck that song. I put it on repeat. I'm like, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Faithful God. Guys, sometimes I listen to one song for 4 hours. Some of you do that too. It's like, man, some people might not understand, but it's just like, this is my holy place. It's like, yes, yes. Yes. Okay. Now I feel like I'm fighting. I'm gonna immerse myself. I'm gonna go deeper. More. I put the Bible in my ear at night. I put the Bible. I say, you know what? This fight, Lord, this I fight my battle. More. And you know what happened? He comes. I sought the Lord. He heard. But how will he hear if you don't seek him? How would he hear? How would he come to your rescue? That's why I said a good sermon will make you feel good. Oh, that was good, Pastor. But I tell you, if you listen to what I'm saying, you go in the Holy of Holies, man, you'll be a bum at your job, because your job is your mission field. You know, generally speaking, the fight that we are in today in our society, I think our children, really, I think for my children, they need a double portion of anointing and presence because of what our society faces today. And I even think of what the church is facing. Do you know the challenge there is for a preacher to remain true to the Word of God? You know the intimidation? Especially the intimidation, man, they might not like what I'm going to say, and, well, I guess they're going to stop tithing. That's why I thank God that I'm not hired, I'm called. Because I don't depend on your tithe and your offerings. I depend on the Lord. So he will always provide. So I'm going to remain true to this. I'm going to challenge you. We're in this road together to heaven. You know, we're in this world together to heaven. We're going to give Holy Spirit room. This is going to remain a place for restoration, a place for healing, a hosting place for God's presence. You know, we all know that we live in a post-Christian society, right? Post-Christian society. To be publicly a believer is offensive. Oh, I pray today that the Holy Spirit will burn your heart to identify yourself as a kingdom citizen. You know, you display yourself for who you are. Jesus said, if you deny me in front of men, I will deny. I will deny. I don't know you in the kingdom. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love that I know Jesus. And you know why? And when I say, you know why? Because he changed my life. Oh, man. Jesus gives me joy. Yeah, Jesus gives me a new heart. Man, guys. Oh, he gives me compassion. I used to be compassionless. I used to not care about people, man. You know what? That's your deal. But now I feel, I carry. When one of you hurt, I hurt. I can't explain it. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, why do I feel like that? I do hurt when one of you hurt. If you're not well, I'm not well. I think churches without prayer meeting is going to be in trouble in the future. Churches without prayer meeting will be in trouble. So our home groups, I encourage you, when you come together, pray. Seek the Lord. You study, but yet pray. Seek God's face. Fast together. You know, next week I'm going to stop today, but next week I'm going to come with some of the verses in the Bible that shows how Jesus prioritized prayer. That's why Jesus, I've been studying it. That's why he had so much resolve. Remember, Jesus wasn't, he renounced his sovereignty as Lord when he was on earth. The only thing he did, he lived a life full with the Holy Spirit. And then he was surrendered to God and he prayed. Oh, Jesus prayed, man. I'm doing my study in the Bible about how Jesus prayed. Man, the guy would have a full day. Guess what? He would be so busy. And I'm thinking, man, I was not as busy as Jesus was. He was really busy. And sometimes he would never find time. But it says he would wake up early. Early in the morning. Set his alarm to press into the presence. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you've experienced what I'm going to say, you know what I'm talking about. The best day ever is the day you set your alarm to wake up and pray. You know it's going to be a busy day. But then you wake up 30, 40, an hour before. I mean, yeah, you make up your mind, alarm goes off, you wake up, and then you go with your Bible and, you know, your drink, whatever. You go to that secret place, you and Jesus, and you're reading the Word. And you're soaking in the Word. And you're just giving your life to the Lord. You read the Bible. And then the Word speaking to your life. His presence comes to you. You know, it's just renew. There's a refreshing wind. Refreshing river that's flowing through you. And then, of course, time is up for you to go take a shower and get ready for work. And you do it. And you go out there. You feel like, oh, man. And then you might face all kinds of crazy stuff at work. But there's enough grace. So let prayer be your DNA. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And I just want you to make a commitment today. And then we're going to transition and go. Please do not resist the Holy Spirit. You know, some people resist the Holy Spirit. You know, when you resist the Holy Spirit, you know what happened? There's no hope. Don't resist Him. And you heard me. I want us to pray this. Let my life be worship. Let my life be that open door, that sanctuary. I invite you to stand. So, Father, we thank you for your word. You know me. You know us. If you need to come to the altar, I invite you, just come and kneel before him.